Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I think Lori believes every word of it. I think she did it for other reasons, too. I think she believes all of it. I also think she was perfectly happy to have secondary gain. She was absolutely furious that Charles Vallow, who was her husband, who she was married to when she met Chad Daybell, she was perfectly happy to claim his $1 million life insurance policy.
It's always remarkable to me how many officers just blow off, you know, people saying, listen, especially in domestics, this person wants to kill me. Chad Daybell's trial, I think it's going to be very interesting in a lot of ways, but for the audience, you may recall, he was involved in several murder plots. You could even call him really, in a sense, in terms of charging, a serial killer. Whether it's from afar or not, he had a systematic number of individuals that he and his fiance at times, and then they got married, wife, Lori Vallow Daybell, wanted offed. And it included her husband, he was killed, his wife after decades, and then also wanted to kill her children, meaning Vallow's children. And they did. And I've heard the description as just horrific, how they suffered. But let's get into, again, going back to religion being the impetus or the reason that they supposedly committed these crimes. Talk to me about what you've read, what you've studied, and what you think.
Okay, here's what I think. Here's the down scoop on it. I think Lori believes every word of it. I do. I think she did it for other reasons, too. I think she believes all of it, and we can get into that. I think she genuinely is a real believer. I also think she was perfectly happy to have secondary gain. She was absolutely furious that Charles Vallow, who was her husband, who she was married to when she met Chad Daybell, she was perfectly happy to claim his $1 million life insurance policy, which he finally managed. There's all this audio of him trying to change the beneficiary on his life insurance. Charles Vallow, it is amazing how hard he fought to try to get people to take him seriously. I mean, he saw this just from the very beginning. You know, there's this police footage of him where she had locked him out of the house. This is early, early on in all of this, right? She's in love with Chad Daybell. She sort of joins this prepper group that he's a member of. He's a famous author in this tiny, itsy-bitsy little community of, you know, doomsday preppers. And everyone's excited to have him invite, you know, come to their, you know, whatever it is they're doing, their podcast or their, you know, gathering or their, you know, book signing or whatever it is. Everyone's thrilled because he's kind of famous in this area. And so Lori goes, Lori falls in love with him, which is not unusual. There were many women before her. In fact, all of Chad Daybell's followers prior to Lori were all women. There weren't a lot of men around at all. And so it's not actually that surprising that that he hooks up with a woman who is incredibly beautiful. I will totally give it to Lori Vallow that she is a very, very beautiful woman. That is pretty much the only good thing I'm going to say from here on out about her. But she her husband at the time, Charles Vallow, I mean, he knows it all. He's like, you know, she is going off the deep end, right? She thinks that she can tell the difference between light and dark people. She's got rankings for people. He's got all these documents that he compiled.
So what's going on tonight?
I can't get in touch with my kids.
How old are your kids?
6 and a half and 16, okay?
How long have you been trying?
2 days.
Okay.
But she's lost her mind. I don't know how else to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a God and member of the 144,000. She's come. Jesus is coming next year. She took all the money out of her bank account today. My truck is gone from the airport. She went to the airport and got it. I just flew in from Houston, from Dallas. Houston and Dallas. So
where's your truck?
I don't know. Okay. A friend of mine's truck had picked me up. I went to the CSI to file a report, which is the community bridges or something, to file a report.
So you did, ordered, you did the petition?
Yeah, they ordered a pickup.
Okay. What time did you do that?
Hour and a half ago.
Okay. So what makes her a danger to herself and to others?
She threatened me, murdered me, killed me.
She threatened to murder you?
Yes.
And she said, how did she do that?
My bishop right there is in the car. He was on the phone with me today when she said, I will have you destroyed, is what she said there.
Okay, that's not a threat to kill you.
Yesterday was a threat to kill me.
What did she say yesterday?
She said, you're not Charles. I don't know who you are, what you did with Charles, but I can murder you now with my powers.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Says, I'm going to kill you too.
So she's speaking as a spiritual being.
She's not here. She's okay. Lost her reality.
Is this just all recent, or has it been going on?
It's been going on for about 4 or 5 years. It's gotten really, really bad lately. She goes to the temple every day and speaks with Moroni and Jesus Christ.
I cannot imagine what this person felt like now. I don't even want to think about what the police officer who was talking to him must feel about all of this now. Because, of course, you've seen a million... You know, he's a police officer. You've seen a million times. People are getting divorced. They say all kinds of crazy things about one another. And this guy's going off on, no, she actually thinks she's a deity. She really thinks that, like, she was married to this guy in, like, 3 other past lives. And, you know, she thinks she can see that people are becoming dark and light. And, you know, I think she's really sick. I think we should get some analysis in here. And he's like, I mean, you know, I don't know. Is he really? And he says, she said she was going to kill me. And he says, you know, what did she say? What were her actual words? And he said, well, she told me that she would destroy me. That's not really a threat. I feel so bad for this police officer. And then he has to go break into his own home. That film, this is very interesting. I'm always coming up with these sort of interesting throwbacks to other crimes. Watching that film of Charles Vallow talking to the police and trying to convince people, and that the cop is not the only person he's trying to convince. He will try to convince his son, he will try to convince his daughter-in-law, all of her family, all of his family, right? But that one videotape, I am very interested in the case that's in Florida, and that is the case of Dan Markell, who was killed by members of his wife's family. And now, you know, so there were hitmen involved. They have all been prosecuted. There was a middleman, Katie Magnanima. She was arrested. She's in prison for life. Finally, the brother-in-law, so his wife's name is Wendy Adelson. Charles Adelson has been arrested. He was convicted for life. Now the mother has been arrested. I mean, they're just going down. But there is a scene in that case. I've been following that case forever. There is a scene of him. He is being followed by hitmen. They follow him to dropping off his children at daycare, and then he goes to the gym. And there is a video of him walking out of the gym. And every time I see it, it's like, don't go. Don't go into the haunted house. Don't leave the gym. Because he's walking to his death. And that's how I feel right. when I look at the Charles Vallow tape where he's talking to that police officer. It's like, oh, no, this is going to be the last time we're ever going to see you. You're going to die. And you don't know it. And no one else knows it. And you can't convince anyone of it. Don't do it. And, you know, it's like he ends up dying exactly the way he thinks he's going to die. He's killed by Laurie's brother.
You said you felt bad for the officer. I don't. I feel bad for Charles Vallow.
Okay, good. Because I was not going to pick on an officer with an officer, so.
I'm picking on him because so often things like this happen because the police don't take it serious, especially with missing people.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have the first 24 to 48 hours, really, if the person is not missing, but rather has been hurt. And typically they come back around within that time frame. But it's always remarkable to me how many officers just blow off, you know, people saying, listen, especially in domestics, this person wants to kill me.
Yeah.
And so I was very disappointed. And I think, again, and we're touching on the subject of gender, if that would have been a woman,
yep,
what would the officer have done?
No, I
but
think
because it was a man, I think he was like, listen, go take care of her. You know, in other words, she can't hurt you. You're a guy.
Yeah.
I just felt it was very much because a gender-based who was saying it was a man.
No, I completely agree with you. It is really worrisome, right? On the one hand, I don't think we take women as seriously as we should be. I'm not sure we take anyone as seriously as we should be, but there was definitely some gendered stuff going on in that conversation. And it is really disturbing to watch it because it really is like watching Dan Markell walking to his death, right? This guy knows exactly what's going to happen, and I think you're absolutely right. He's a man, and it's like, what, you can't take care of the little woman?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to fight with your little woman? Like, what's wrong with you? You're not a good enough man. And he cannot get anyone to listen to him, right? He's got the whole thing laid out, and he dies because Lori's brother. It is amazing if you look at the timeline in this, right? It is a 5-month period of Lori meeting Chad Daybell, and within that 5-month period, everyone dies. Like, everyone dies.
Yeah. Right? They scheme early on. It's very interesting. They early on not only scheme, of course, getting together, but scheme how they're going to off people.
Yeah, and they do these, and it's amazing the way in which they get their followers to, you know, these followers are all excited because they're like king and queen, prophets, right? You know, it's like, oh, you know, my wife is going to just drop dead one day. She's just going to drop dead one day. And, of course, when she drops dead, look at Chad. Chad was a prophet, right? I think Charles Vallow is going to die. I think he's going to die. There is a scene. I just finished reading a book on this, and I'm suddenly forgetting what it's called. But anyway, she and Zulema, who becomes her sister-in-law, Zulema ends up, they basically pair up people, and she convinces this woman, who is a follower of both of them, to marry her brother Alex, and Alex is the guy that they're sending out to do all the dirty work, right? They're having this conversation about Charles Vallow is driving from Houston to come see JJ, right? So they're in Idaho, and they're either in Idaho or Utah, and he is driving, and she's got her friend, right? Like, we're the women. We're going to work together to use our power over nature, right? We're going to use our power over nature. Let's pray together that we can bring on a hurricane that will kill Charles. And weirdly, there's another scene where there's another situation where he's actually in the car with JJ, her son, who is not yet a zombie, so she's not yet ready to kill her son. And
Lori's son.
Lori's son and Charles's son, right? So Charles is driving. Mm-hmm. He's got JJ, the son that they adopted. It's actually Charles Vallow's sister's son's child, right? So it is his mm-hmm. great-nephew that they adopted. So it is actually both their child. They're both the adopted parents of him. So Charles mm-hmm. is driving with JJ, and they're doing, she and her friend, Zulema, are doing this, okay, let's get a hurricane going. Let's concentrate really hard on a hurricane. And you do kind of think like, okay, so you want to take Charles out, but your kid's in the car, which I just think is why wasn't anyone paying attention, right? Like, what is wrong with you people? What ends up happening in this is, so Charles dies, then Tammy dies. So Charles dies, Lori's
husband.
Wait
a minute. Charles doesn't die. Charles is murdered.
Charles is murdered. I am so sorry. You are absolutely right.
No.
No, so this 5-month period, right, Chad and Lori meet one another. They fall madly in love, partly because he tells her, oh my gosh, you're so special. You are a deity. You are a goddess. We were married in three past lives. You know, we were meant to be together. It's not actually violating our vows to have an affair with one another because, you know, in the LDS faith, once you're joined together, you are joined together for life. You're joined together past life, and we were together in other lives, and so, you know, you're just my wife, so it's really okay that we're going to have sex and that, you know, we're going to, you know, have an affair, and I know that you married Charles, but, you know, you were married to me in multiple past lives, so, you know, this is all fine. Mm-hmm. So they meet, and she is special, and she's a goddess, and of course, he's already a prophet, right? He's got all this following, he's a prophet. It's actually a small following, but, you know, it's more than most of us have. I don't have a following like that. Could never have a career as a cult leader. So they meet, they're in love, and they are predicting Charles's death. And they're not just predicting it. She's getting her friends to, like, have control nature to take him out. And then it's when he dies, it's prophecy. Look, they were right. They predicted that this would happen. And then he starts...
Only it wasn't a hurricane.
It wasn't a hurricane. It was the brother. So...
Exactly.
So Alex Cox, who is Lori Vallow's brother, so her maiden name. She's been married now. Chad is her fifth husband. So she's had multiple names, but... So she was originally Lori Cox. Her brother is Alex Cox. He worships his sister. He is one of the people who is most under their spell. He will do anything for them. He is designated as Lori's protector. Chad tells him that he has been his protector his entire life. That is what he's always was there for. He was always to protect his sister who is so special. And so they want Charles to be dead because she wants to inherit his $1 million life insurance and also get his Social Security because once he dies, his children, which, you know, that's Tylee and JJ, who they adopted, they would get Social Security payments, which we find out from Lori in a telephone call that's been recorded, is $4,000 a month. But she's expecting to make $1 million. So... all of a sudden, he comes over to pick up his son one day. They're actually leaving. He's walking out to the car. He realizes he forgot his telephone. He walks back in, and he's killed by Lori's brother, Alex Cox. And the claim is, you know, he came here, and he was yelling at Lori. He was threatening Lori. And... so Tylee, the daughter, goes and gets a baseball bat out of her own room and brings it out, and she's putting the bat between her father and her mother. And, you know, but then she leaves the bat on the floor. Lori takes the children away. Charles is still there, right? Charles walks in to go get his phone, which he left behind. He goes back in, and... the claim of Alex is he swung at me with the baseball bat. See, I have a cut in the back of my head. I don't know why anyone would believe this. Did you see the cut on his back of his head? It's like 2 inches.
Oh, little, you mean that little, yeah.
The little, like, the little scrape on the back of his head. And so, you know, I went and got my gun and I just shot him. And I do love that the police said to him, did you consider maybe just, I don't know, going in the room and shutting the door? Oh, I didn't think of that.
Leaving, leaving the house.
Leaving, I don't know. Lori left. Why didn't you leave too? I don't know, I didn't think of that. I just went and shot him. And no one investigates it. So, oh, he hit me on the head. He was threatening me with the bat. He hit me on the head. So I just shot him. And they don't do any investigation. There's no investigation done on this. So Alex Cox becomes this very important character in all of this, because everyone starts dying around these people, right? In a 5-month period, we're going to get rid of Charles, Lori's husband. We're going to get rid of Tammy, Chad's husband. And then the two children are dead. And then, you know, very few people talk about this, but her third husband also died under very mysterious. Mm-hmm. Lots of people die around Lori Vallow.
Okay, now I'm going to get to paint you in a corner, Dr.
Oh, you are. You're going to do this. Okay.
You said that you believe Lori Vallow truly believed.
I do think she believes it.
This.
Okay.
I'm saying absolute baloney.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, back to the other husband. She wasn't under his spell then. I think Lori is about Lori. Lori was about money. Lori was about sex. Lori was about getting together with Chad. And Lori needed to get rid of the ball and chains around her legs as she saw them, who she named zombies. No, to me, I will never be convinced that this was anything but contrived acting and excuse to go out. And now, do I think that it became a larger-than-life excuse? In other words, that she started almost convincing herself? Perhaps. But it was the means to explain her action. It wasn't the driving force behind her actions.
Okay.
That's what I think.
So I'm just going to play with an idea here, right?
Yep.
She
devil's
is,
advocate.
All
I
right,
love it.
Good. I'm going to be devil's advocate. And I'm just not sure of it. She is married to her third husband. Her third husband is Joseph Ryan. Joseph Ryan is the father. No, I'm sorry. It's not the father, actually. Her son is actually from her first marriage. So she has a first marriage directly out of high school. She's very young. She has her son. I don't even remember the name of the man she married. Her son, Colby, is from her first marriage. There is a short second marriage. I don't really know very much about that. Nobody really talks about that. Her third husband is Joseph Ryan.
Is Tylee's daddy.
And that is Tylee's father. That's her biological father. And we do know that the son, Colby, said, at first it was wonderful. We were a family. It was stable. It's what I'd always wanted. I'd wanted a family. But then, all of a sudden, Joseph Ryan started hitting me, right? He started hitting me. He would hit me on the back of his head. And then he sexually molested me. And I didn't even know how to tell my mother. I didn't even know, like, how to explain the things that he was doing. I just didn't even understand what was going on. Lori goes through a very dramatic shift right after Joseph Ryan. She starts going to the temple every single day. I do wonder if there wasn't genuine abuse. So I'm, again, not defending Lori. Lori is responsible for absolutely everything she does. I am not suggesting she's not responsible. But I do think that there is a shift. I think it is very likely that he was an abuser. We know that he abused the son. Because I do trust Colby. I do trust her son on this. And he says that he was abused.
I do, too.
So we do know that. And what she says about him later is, I just wanted to kill him. And I get that. I understand the expression, you know, if someone raped my child, I would want them dead, too. Right? I don't think there's really anything very surprising about her saying, he abused my children, I wanted them dead.
Exactly.
And
I agree.
I agree with that, and I would definitely feel that way. And I joked where it's not very funny to say that if anyone ever hurt my son, I would bury them in my backyard, and I wouldn't, you know, totally take responsibility for it. But it's what would happen. I hope, he's 17 now. It's not going to happen. But so I think something really dramatic happened with Joseph Ryan. It made her really angry. It kind of set her on edge. She started going to the temple every single day. And in going to the temple, she starts to become more and more fanatical. It is the thing that is making her feel better about all of it. And she actually sounds a little rational in interviews at that time where she's talking to friends and she's saying things like, I just wanted to stop the bleeding. I was just a disaster. And I am not defending Lori, except to say I think something happened there. And I think she became fanatically religious in a way to get over this incredible trauma that she had been through with this husband. That does not justify anything.
That's why you think it's real. That's why you think it's real. That was the turning point.
I think it was a turning point, and I can see a progression. So the progression is she starts going to the temple every day. She starts reading more and more, right? And you can see this in the way that we see other fanatics, right? I was reminded with Lori Vallow, I was reminded of the person whose name I do not know, who believed that children, he believes the story that children are being kidnapped for their adrenochrome. Is that what it's called? The adrenochrome?
Oh, yeah, I remember
right.
him.
So yeah. There's a huge underground pedophile ring. There are lizard people, and they are capturing children. And then, you know, there's all these signs that people are seeing in Hillary Clinton's emails. And there is, you know, there's all these references to pizza. There's references to this particular pizza place in D.C., which is Comet Ping Pong Pizza. A man whose name I cannot remember, you may know, travels from Ohio with a gun, goes into Comet Ping Pong Pizza, holds everyone up at gunpoint and says, take me to the basement, show me the children. And what he doesn't recognize is there's no basement, right? There's no basement. Mm-hmm. This didn't happen. So I do think there can be a progression of these fanatical beliefs. I am not letting anyone off the hook. He is the man who came in with the gun, totally responsible. Lori Vallow, totally responsible. But there is a progression of the deeply held beliefs. And I do think it traces back to Joseph Ryan. Now, Joseph Ryan mysteriously dies. And there are people who mysteriously die in this that die of natural causes. Like, they never figure out what they die of. In his case, I think they said that he had blood clots. I mean, it actually sounded like he really did have, but it's a little coincidental that he's dead, especially after she's saying how much she wants to kill him. But Lori is really damaged after that marriage. She moves into being married with Charles, and you see the progression of this religious fanaticism. And that religious fanaticism leads her. Charles is also LDS. Charles, you know, he is a mainline Mormon. They go to temple together, but Lori is digging in deeper and deeper and deeper and going down this path with these people are doomsday preppers. They are working on podcasts to help people prepare for the end of time. And she is surrounding herself with people who believe this. So it's an unusual belief, but it's not a delusional belief because other people believe it. So she is surrounding herself with people who also believe these things. They're feeding each other. She meets Chad Daybell, and Chad Daybell says, not only do you know what you're talking about, because I agree with you, which obviously means you know what you're talking about, right? Because, you know, I know what I'm talking about. So not only are you totally right about everything and about doomsday and why we need to be preppers, you're also a goddess, and you also have all these powers. And we were married in another life, so now she is just on a luge, right? You start out at the luge, and you're in the sled, and you are going to end up at the bottom of that luge, whether or not you're riding on the sled. And so I do think that Lori had this progression into more and more and more extreme beliefs.
And so where did it turn from extreme beliefs to delusion to thinking your children are zombies?
Yeah, that's the problem that I have. So forensic psychiatrists would tell you, I went and talked to my mentor, who's a forensic psychiatrist, about this, and he made fun of me because I'm a philosopher. It's actually kind of funny going back to what you were saying earlier. And he was like, you're a philosopher. You have all these problems. Like, you keep tripping over this problem of free will. You think people have free will. And I'm like, but does she have free will? Does she, or is she delusional? You can't really call it a delusion because it is shared. It's shared by others, right? It is, a delusion is you have a, you know, a belief about the world that is absolutely not true. If you are surrounded with people who believe the same things, then it's not a delusion. It's a cultural belief, right? And we have seen cultural...
But she went beyond that.
But she did.
She went beyond that.
And that's, for me, the thing that I think is most interesting about Lori Vallow is that it is a difference in degree, but not a difference in kind, right? So she has these beliefs that are shared. Other people have it. Zulema thinks that she can control nature with Lori. They have those shared views. But then she just goes deeper and deeper. I think she did believe it to some extent, or at least I think she believed this. I think she believed in Chad. I think she believed that Chad was genuinely special. And maybe that's because Chad made her feel special. So they end up getting in this really twisted relationship with one another. And if Chad thinks that he can determine darkness and light, and that he can read people, and that he has a scaling, right, he can scale people, wow, you know. Tylee is, you know, she's 3% dark, but, you know, she's moving in the wrong direction. And JJ's been dark for a while, right? You know, and so I can read all of this. I think she might have believed Chad, or at least she wanted to believe Chad, right? Chad really has answers.
So Chad is who is going to be on trial. And what do you think?
I think he's an opportunist.
His excuse.
I think he's going to blame it on
her. So do you think he buys into his religious beliefs?
No, I don't. I think Chad's an opportunist. I think Chad's a complete opportunist. I think Chad will pin everything on Lori. What's interesting about Lori, and part of the reason why I said I think she believes it, is she didn't even launch a defense. They didn't call a single witness, right? There's a pathetic, a completely pathetic closing argument by her lawyer where he's basically begging them to recognize that, you know, maybe a little bit of doubt, like, I don't know, maybe you could kind of doubt this or that. It's completely pathetic. They don't even launch a defense. She's very specific. Do not mention Chad. Do not mention Chad. Do not mention Chad. She will not mention Chad, right? So she believes something. She didn't even fight for her own, she didn't fight for her freedom. Right? She wasn't going to pin it on Chad. I don't think we're going to see that. I think Chad's going to immediately, in fact, already thinks he's already said, right? I think there's a real advantage to going second, right? To being tried second when you're part of a partnership.
Oh, a huge advantage.
Yeah, you
huge
know,
advantage.
You know exactly what they're going to say. You know the evidence that they have. And I think Chad is going to talk about her as a succubus who seduced her into killing his children. I don't believe that. I think Chad was completely on board for all of it. I think they are equally responsible. I do think that they had a weird little, you know, relationship that made them both worse, but they're responsible. But I think we can predict that Chad Daybell's going to blame Lori. That's my take on it.
And it is very interesting that he is facing the death penalty. Lori's attorneys got in all sorts of discovery issues for late discovery, and the judge threw out the death penalty, as you mentioned. But it's well on the table for Chad, not for Lori, because you cannot have the death penalty in Arizona for a conspiracy to commit murder. It has to be first-degree murder.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So it'll be interesting to see. In other words, it was thrown out in her first prosecution, but in this one coming up, it can't even be on the table.
Oh, so this is Arizona, when she's going to be tried in Arizona?
Yeah, it's the charge is the issue.
Oh, the charge is the issue. Okay.
You know, 'cause that she conspired as opposed to she committed the first-degree murder.
Okay.
But in any event, so basically, when we boil it all down, you believe Lori is a believer, and I see your point there. Because you make some very strong points and arguments that she believed in something to think that, and listen, she walked in like she was tipping through the tulips in her court appearance, you know, for sentencing. She, not a care in the world. And so perhaps that also speaks to your point that if you religiously buy in that what you did, there was nothing wrong with it, then that's your reason for being fine and smiling and being happy and, you know, jovial. But Chad gets it, and I agree with you. Chad tried to use religion to get people to follow him, to seduce people, not believing in it, but rather believing in his and wanting power and his narcissism to be fed. And I agree with all of that. I also agree with you that he's going to throw Lori 100% under the bus. I think it won't work. I think he's going to not only be convicted, I think he's going to get the death penalty.
You do. Okay.
But I think there's all sorts of appellate issues because, you know, the attorney wanted off the case. There's all sorts of issues in terms of the Sixth Amendment that I think he'll end up possibly winning. But I was very curious, and I love that you took a stance.
Yeah, well, I just
Lori's
think...
Chad's...
I mean, I think Lori is desperate. I think she's a believer because she... I think something, I do, and I'm not excusing her. I'm not giving a, you know, oh, the poor woman. I'm not
doing
that.
There's a difference between excusing and explaining.
Right.
And I think you're trying to explain.
Yeah, and I think something happened to her, and I think Chad Daybell just looked like the answer to her. And then once it looks like the answer, you have to buy in. Or you have to buy in wholesale. And the children part is really complicated to me because everyone said that she was a great mother before all of them. Everybody reports that. Mm-hmm. Charles Vallow's own mother and sister are interviewed. I don't remember. They're on some show and they're being interviewed. And they are saying, we don't know where the children are, but we are absolutely certain that she did not hurt the children. We're absolutely certain. These are not, you know, this... I think it's her mother and his sister go on together, and they're just, you know, we are absolutely certain that she may have them in a bunker somewhere, but there is no way Lori hurt these children. So there seems to be pretty good evidence that she was a pretty decent parent before all of this. So what happens that she's...
Before she murdered her children.
Oh, yeah, before she murdered her children. I mean, I'm not justifying all of this. I meant before this, you know, meeting Chad Daybell and just going down this rabbit hole. And I started thinking about it today. I was thinking about how do you prove that you really... If you're attempting to prove your religious beliefs, right? If you're attempting to show faithfulness to your God... Right, which is what her claim is. It's what Chad Daybell's claim is. How do you do that? Well, sacrificing your own life is one way. But actually the really kind of more effective, the more strong statement is to sacrifice the life of your children. Right? That's Abraham and Isaac. And I think she believed it and kind of threw her children. I believe it so thoroughly. Now, whether she does or not is a different question. But I do think it's a claim. Like, I believe you, Chad. I believe you. You say that you can see whether people are zombies. And if it has to be my children, I'm just gonna hand them over. So I don't really know.
I see what you're saying, but her explanation was so different from that. Her explanation wasn't really as a sacrifice, but rather, literally, like, these are Damien. These are, they're dark. They're evil, they're zombies, and they need to be extinguished.
Yeah, well, they need to be extinguished for them, though, too, right? Like, so there's another element to it. They're very specific about they are zombies, and it is bad for them because their soul can't be released, and it's bad for all the rest of us, right? Because they're zombies.
Oh, I see what you're
right.
saying.
So
yeah.
It's actually, we're actually doing them a favor. She says to Charles at some point, look, you're a zombie, and you're, oh, by the way, Ned Schneider. Do you love Ned Schneider? So you are a demon. You have a demon in you. His name is Ned Schneider, which I just think is hilarious because that sounds like an accountant to me. It doesn't sound like a demon to me. So you're possessed by Ned Schneider. And look, you're already a zombie, and I could kill you, and people will thank me. She literally just says, I could kill you. People will thank me because I'll be releasing your soul. I don't know. You know, I think what I meant about the sacrifice of the children is just this, is that even my children, right, I've got to believe it really thoroughly before I'm... It's easy to believe it about my husband that I'm trying to leave. It's easy enough. You're going to tell me he's a zombie? Great. Zombie it is, man. Zombie, you're right. He's a total zombie. It's a really different thing when you're telling me that my kids are zombies. You know, here's this woman that everyone's saying what a great mother she is. 3 years before, would she have been willing to say that, okay, you're totally right, they're zombies, let's go ahead and release their soul? By the way, we also have to burn or bind them, which explains a lot of the injuries that are on the children when they find the children, right? She's very specific. How do you get rid of the demon? You have to bind or you have to burn. One of her children is bound in duct tape, that's JJ. One of her children is burned, is dismembered and burned, and that's Tylee. And so, you know, at least she's consistent. I mean, I'm not going to give her points for consistency, but it is a consistent tale, right? We watched them get dark. They became zombies. They were possessed. Tylee was possessed by a demon called Hillary. I don't know where the hell these names are coming from. Hillary and Ned, the demons. And, you know, so she's possessed by that. The only way that you can get rid of this is binding and burning. You know, so the story is consistent with all of it.
All right. I'm going to give you this.
Come on, bring it on.
I'm going to give you this. No. I have to say, when I sit back and look at it through the progression that you laid out, and then also what was done, in other words, that she was true to these convictions, I think you have a good argument regarding Lori. It's hard for me to get over what it meant to her monetarily.
Yes.
What it meant to her in terms of freedom, the fact they ran off to Hawaii, you know, on this sexual escapade honeymoon. I mean, I'm just judging from the pictures.
They were very enamored. I mean, they were very clear that they loved that they had a great time together. Yeah, you know.
Crazy over each other. And so for me, I just saw a lot of pleasure being derived from all of this, you know, Ned, Hillary, you know, killing demons. At the end of the day, the result was pleasure for Lori by her standards,
right,
and by what she wanted. So it is hard for me to, and I know what you're saying. You're providing an explanation. You're not providing any sort of excuse.
I mean, and to say
I'm going to have to chew on that, Dr. Upright. Yeah, I'm going to have to chew on it.
I mean, I think that, like, you know, it's not an excuse. I mean, even if you want to say they're delusional, we have to be really careful about, you know, that doesn't mean you're not guilty, right? First of all,
She knows right from wrong.
Idaho and I don't know, is it Utah and Idaho? The states that there's all these problems in, they don't even have, they're like the states that don't even have death penalty. I mean, I'm sorry, they're the states that do not have an insanity defense. Insanity defense is not what I'm claiming at all. I'm not making any claim at all about insanity. I am saying that these beliefs were very, very deeply held. And they also happen to be super convenient, right? They're very deeply held beliefs that also get me out of this marriage that I don't want to be in to a person I don't want to be with. And also, you know, I end up having, like, Social Security that I can live off of. So I'm with you. They're definitely secondary gain. But I do want to suggest that maybe both things can be true, right?
Maybe. You know, now that I think of it, and I may have to chew on it longer and circle back, but as I really think of it, you just said something that made me realize anybody who thinks their child is a zombie, anybody who names the people that are the dark part of them, all of that does sound cuckoo,
yeah,
quacky,
I mean,
not in one's right mind.
Right.
And because I think she did know right from wrong, but she actually thought what she was doing was right. Yeah. I mean, if we're to believe this, I see the explanation, but I think at the end of the day, it all had to do with pleasure, money, and freedom.
Money, sex, and power, right, is what the prosecutor said in her trial. It's about money, sex, and power. And I'm going to go with her. I do think it's about money, sex, and power. I think there were certainly elements of money, sex, and power. But I also think that there was something. I think it is perfectly fine to say that it's a lot of different things, right? That it's a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I do find it compelling that Lori never says anything different all the way through her trial. I don't know how much it would have helped her, but she doesn't even try to defend herself. Like, there's no defense for her. And then she breezes into the Arizona, courtroom, and she's got her hair flying. I don't even know. How the hell did they get a curling iron into her? Like, she comes in
She looks great.
Yeah, she looks fantastic, you know. You're really holding up. How the hell are you doing so well in prison, you know? Although Lori's got a lot of different traits that make her a candidate to do well in prison, right? She's beautiful. She's already religious, right? She's charming. I don't see it. I don't see the charming thing.
Manipulative.
She's manipulative. The Chad thing is really weird to me, and I always have this with these sort of cult leader kind of people. You know, they'll talk about how you know, they're charming and they're persuasive. I listen to Chad Daybell, and it's like, what a schlump, man. I mean, he's not interesting. He's not smart. He's not good looking. I don't understand any of it at all. I don't know how he has this little following. I don't know how he ends up with all of this. I don't get it. I never understand it. It's like Keith Raniere with the Nexium cult, right? Like, oh, he's got all these beautiful actresses that are all in love with him. And it's like, what the hell do they see in him? Like,
all of them are like this. But, Jim Jones, David Koresh. It's about the charisma, I guess. I mean, we don't get to see it because we didn't know him.
I guess.
But I have seen people like this. They are so charismatic, and they talk with such authority. And let's be honest, I think she was looking for it. I think she was looking for answers. And he came in and provided the answers that she wanted to hear.
That would be and my view. That's my view.
Probably a good way to leave it, right?
Right.
He provided the answers that she wanted to hear that would lead to sex, power, freedom, and money.
And what are you willing to do for that? What are you willing to do for... There's an interview with another member of the group. There's a lot of members of the group. And after all of this is over, a lot of them were like, what the hell was I thinking, right? Like, Lori went off the cliff and killed her children. Okay, now I'm willing to say that there was some real problems with... Maybe we're going to go back and we're going to look at some of the things that we were willing to believe in this. And one of them says, he just made you feel special. He just made me feel special. He was willing to say, I am so important. I deserve to be listened to. I was somebody in a past life, right? Because, of course, they're all like minor members of the, you know, minor characters in the Bible in their past lives. I am something special. And that attention, and especially for someone who just needs it so badly, I think that makes a huge amount of difference. And I think that's what happened with Lori. I don't think Chad believed it ever. He might have been a prepper.
I agree with you. I don't think he did either. It was a way to exercise his narcissism.
Yeah.
That's how
I
see it.
I so want to see him go down. I think he's going to throw Lori into the bus. I do. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know that I have to say he's innocent till proven guilty. Did I just say it? I said he's innocent till proven guilty. Like, all right, we get the points that I said it, right? But if you're going to ask my opinion is the man is guilty as sin. I mean, that one text that he sends to Tammy, his wife, when he was still, you know, before she died. I started burning the underbrush because, you know, we're going to have all those storms. And I thought I would get it before they get all soggy. And then there was this raccoon on the back porch. And so, you know, one shot did it. And now I buried him in our pet cemetery. I don't know why, because, you know, a raccoon's not really your pet. But okay. So he has now explained a fire. And a body in the ground, right? Chad Daybell knew what the hell he was doing. They set Alex up to do all of the dirty work, right? If you look at who was actually burying those bodies, it looks like it was Alex, right? His phone is out there for 2.5 hours. Chad's out there for 17 minutes, right? Now, Chad was a grave digger. Maybe he did it really quickly, but I don't think so. Pretty sure it was Alex. And then Alex dies. And I'd love to know what you think about Alex, because Alex, before Tammy died, she gets out of the car one day and she turns around and there's a guy in black and he's holding what she thinks is a paint gun, which I think is really interesting why these people who live in Utah and Arizona and Idaho don't know what a real gun looks like. But, you know, I don't know, he's got this paint gun and it was really weird and I screamed and he ran away. And, you know, he shoots at somebody else. So Alex is always there to be doing the dirty work, right? He's the one that kills Charles in self-defense. He's got to be the guy that was standing with the black, you know, and the so-called paint gun with Tammy, sure. Right? And then at the very end of his life, he says to Zulema, who he was told that he had to marry to finish his, you know, to finish his project in the world, he had to marry her. And he says the night before he dies, I think I'm the fall guy. And she says, fall guy for what? Nobody's done anything wrong. What fall guy? What do you mean by fall guy? And then he dies the next day. And supposedly of natural causes. So there are just, the dead bodies are just stacking up, man. And, you know, it's pretty incredible. It's an incredible story, and I really, really hope.
It is, and it's really incredible that he almost got away with the murder of Tammy. Tammy, as you'll recall, they thought she died of natural causes, exhumed the body later, and found out she was suffocated. And that's why they're able to move forward with charges. But he almost got away with that one as well. At the end of the day, anyone who could do what Alex continued to do, he is nothing more to me than a sadistic murderer. That's what he is. So I don't think he had the religion. I think he enjoyed it.
No, I think he enjoyed it too.
Because anybody able to do it is, you know, he was able to enjoy
it. This is Alex, the brother.
Alex, the brother. I think he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He kept doing it.
You know, he was a stand-up comedian. He was an amateur stand-up comedian. And he has there's a film of him as a comedian, and he's saying,
"You ever had something that you knew was the right thing to do, but it turns out later on it was a felony?" This is a true story. I found out that my ex-brother-in-law was a pedophile, so I took a stun gun and I discharged it right in his nutsack. And in Texas, that's a felony. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll get a handshake or a parade or something.
Right, like he makes this joke about it. He thinks it's funny. He thinks it's cute. And then he ends up going and like just being her lackey and doing all. I think he loved it. I think he loved sneaking around in black.
You say lackey. I say assassin.
Okay, right.
He became her assassin, and he was no more than a sadist. Maybe God did lend his hand, and, you know, I don't know. And maybe he did die of natural causes, but. No matter what, right now, Chad is going to be, he's going to go to trial. I think it's going to be a short trial. I don't think he'll be able to put up much of a defense other than point in the direction of Lori. And we'll be here for it.
I mean, that's the thing is, I think what he's going to try to do is throw Lori into the bus to just get enough to avoid the death penalty. I think at this point, the lawyer doesn't want to be his lawyer anyway. I think the only thing they're going to try to do is save his life, because this is not a trial you can win. No one's going to win this. He is going down. And just the question is just going to be, can the lawyer save his life?
Thank you so much again. I mean, your time is so valuable. What you do as far as your teaching, your writing, you're just such a huge member in the community, in that community. And I just want to thank you for taking time out to talk again about these despicable people and for enlightening us, though, as to why maybe these despicable people do the things they do.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. All right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.